The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCBQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Vick, the Portfolio Doctors.
Good afternoon. Happy 4th of July to everyone. We are glad you could share part of your day, this wonderful day here in the United States of America. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Vick. And I think this 4th of July, after this show, you won't need to go to the fireworks.
No?
No, it's all going to happen right here.
We're providing the fireworks
That's
today.
That's right, exactly.
And very quickly, between us, we have over 50 years of experience in the financial markets, investing, helping people, planning. And that's, we feel, gives us credibility to be able to provide you with information, provide you with guidance to make the right decisions for yourselves, to understand that your situation is unique to you. And you need to make your decisions based on the uniqueness, what your goals are, what's most important to you. You don't want to be doing what's most important to your neighbor or working, following what he's doing, because his goals may be very different. Maybe he knows his life expectancy is 55. No one in his family has ever lived past 55.
My brother made it.
There you go. So that's a good sign for you.
Yeah.
But on the other side, maybe your family has a life expectancy into their 90s. And if you're going to follow his path or her path and do what they're doing when they think the probability is they're not going to make it even to 60, they might be living for today right now, where you have a long future. You want to take everything into account and understand, if you don't, what impact that could have if, in fact, you do live to 90, which a high percentage of your family has.
You know, though, it's beyond, you know, worrying about what your neighbor does in terms of returns. I mean, in reality, you should always live your life without worrying about
others.
Right. I mean, not that you should be obnoxious and cut people off in lines and stuff like that. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying everyone's their own individual. You're your own person, and you, as long as you doing the best you know how and really putting your best foot forward and being courteous and nice to others while you're going about your business, I just personally think that even investments and outside of that, it should just be your own personal in business, right?
Right.
Your own personal life. Live your life.
And that's the reality. That's like, I don't want to toot my own horn, but that is how I have built my business.
Right.
And I sit with prospects, clients, anyone who wants to talk with me and help them get a clearer picture of what is most important to them, specifically to them, not just on a surface, kind of a big blanket statement of, oh, you know, I'd like to see everybody get along, and I would like to travel and
world peace.
Right.
Yeah.
It's much more specific than that. And then that is the foundation of every decision going forward.
Right.
And if you can do that, it gives you a lot of clarity into the why. Why am I going to do this, or this particular activity, whether it's saving money, spending money, traveling, buying a house, buying a car, whatever the activity is, you're going to understand why you want to do that and what the purpose of it is for your specific situation.
Agreed. And if you like me, and you're honest with yourself, and you really understand what you want your retirement to look like, which to me is hopefully I get there sooner rather than later, because but I want to do a lot of things. It's going to require a lot of money. And if you wake up to that, a lot of people go, wow, that would be what I'd really like to do. Travel the world, you know, hike mountains, you know, whitewater off down canyons, I don't know, whatever it is, just do all of these things that cost a lot of money. And then they add it up and then they go, well, I'm never going to be able to retire.
Right.
Well, the funny part about it is that is sort of me. I've got my investments set up that might get me there, but there's a, because of the amount of money I need, there's a chance I might never, right? And neither of those really worry me, because I'm doing what I love. So it's not like I'm worrying about that. But some people sit in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I don't want to retire and not be able to do that, but I also don't want to work much longer because I hate what I'm doing. And that, to be honest, is one of the metrics in the show, is to try and get people off that fence and try and understand that something's got to change then. You've either got to do what you love or forego all of those things in retirement, or get really lucky and win the lottery.
Right. And we know that. That's just a tax on people that don't understand statistics.
Really?
Yes. I know you're not much of a statistics guy. You don't look at numbers, so you don't understand that. But that actually leads very well into the basis of our show today. I found a very interesting, it really relates on a very solid basis to what we like to provide here on the show. And this comes from the CFA Institute. Is that any kind of organization that holds any water?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, the CFA Institute possibly is the highest level of investments institute that monitors their what would I say, their accreditation really closely. Right. And to get a CFA, you really have to supposedly know your stuff.
It's a high, very, very highly credible designation. So if you see an individual that has their name, Bob Jones, CFA,
right,
you know they are very serious about what they do, and that's someone you can probably trust in what they're going to do for you.
Yeah, I don't think Madoff was a CFA.
I don't believe so.
No. All right.
So with this, from the CFA Institute, we come across a great article, The 7 Deadly Sins of Investing. Everybody has heard of the 7 Deadly Sins. This is the 7 Deadly Sins of Investing.
Well, I like the first sentence to the second paragraph in this, where it says, investing should always be highly rational.
Okay,
humans, on the other hand, rarely are.
Yeah.
And that is so true. I mean, it's so easy to say, oh, just be rational, just be rational. But when you're watching your portfolio getting just dumped on, mm-hmm. when there's a major catastrophe in the globe like we had in 2008,
right.
It's not too easy to be rational.
Sure.
You're watching your retirement just fly out the window,
mm-hmm.
and yet now you've got to remain calm. And, you know, so it's incredibly difficult.
Oh,
but that's the
absolutely.
Funny thing is that under the investment guidelines around the globe, number one is be rational. And it's just about impossible. And that's why you need a top quality financial advisor to make certain. And you need to trust that person. If they're going to hold you to the fire,
right.
Stay with the path. Then stay the path.
Right. And then that is a difficult time. We've talked about it. Emotion really impacts the decision making. And during that 2008, early 2009, even as an advisor, it was becoming very challenging to say, let's stick with this. But I continued to emphasize that to clients, and it has worked out really well. But at the same time, even in the back of my mind, understanding how the markets tend to work, it was very challenging to say, we need to stick with our strategy. We need to keep doing this. But clearly that was the right decision to make now that we're 6 years down the road and things have...
I think under the 7 deadly sins, what we've just talked about falls under pride.
Yes. Well, you can't skip it. It's in a specific order, isn't it?
Are they always? I don't think so. I think we can jump to pride.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're never going to get through this list. It'll be our normal thing. We're going to get like through number 2.
Yes, there's only 7 this time. Usually it's a top 10 or top 20.
Right. But I think that's under pride, because really, I think if you analyze it all, I think in the back of people's minds, when they're trying to be rational, they understand, okay, I'm in this for the long haul. I shouldn't be getting out. But the pride and the ego get in the way, and they really don't want to face up to the music, right? Which is really what it is, because you're going to have a lot of people screaming at you, particularly potentially your spouse, saying, "You dumb idiot, you know, you shouldn't have done it that way. You should have done this way. And why didn't we sell? And I told you so, and I told you so." And that's really not helpful at all to anyone. And your pride can really get bruised.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So. And that, again, that's really on the emotional side.
Correct.
And we've devoted an entire show or two to the emotional aspect of investing and how it can really have a negative impact on your decision making.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna let him go back to the first one now.
Okay.
Because he likes to go in order.
Well, it's just, I think everyone knows the seven deadly sins. It's envy, pride, lust, wrath, sloth, gluttony, and greed.
Yeah.
So I think we can all agree that greed makes a lot of sense when you're relating it to a investing standpoint, where the others, just looking at them, probably, and maybe lust. But other than that, it's not as straightforward. But I think the CFA Institute here.
Number one, envy, easy. That's called chasing. People chase because they're envious. They hear of their next door neighbors had an investment in XYZ, like say Qualcomm, and Qualcomm sitting at $200, and he's making more and more money every week. So you've got to get in.
$100,000 a day because it was going up so much.
Then you got to get in, and it doesn't really fit your portfolio, but you're buying it for one specific reason, and that is because you're envious. Maybe.
And that's exactly it. The very first sentence when they mention envy is, the grass is always greener in someone else's portfolio.
And we talk about that every single week.
Right.
Don't worry about what your neighbor's doing. Concentrate on your own portfolio. Well,
and especially, you need to remember that your neighbor or the person that is going to be outgoing or boisterous about their investment portfolio, they're only telling you in the times that they've made the right choice or gotten lucky. They are never leaning over the fence and saying, "Oh, my portfolio is down 28% year to date. What do you think?" You're never going to hear that conversation.
I don't know. I haven't heard that one too often.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone brag about how much they lost, but you always hear the winners. And more often than not, it's the one winner out with 10 losers behind it.
Right.
And they lost $10,000, but they made $1,000 in that one investment. So that's all they talk about.
Agreed.
So, well, stick around. When we come back, we will dig deeper into this list, the seven deadly sins of investing. You're listening to the Portfolio Doctors. AM 1170, The Answer.
San Diego's home for intelligent, conservative talk. AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to LeadCommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
AM 1170 The Answer at AM 1170TheAnswer.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for sharing your 4th of July Saturday with us. It is the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And today we came across a fun article with a lot of, I think, great information to help put things into perspective from the CFA Institute, and it is the 7 deadly sins of investing. We touched on really the first two, so we're setting
a
pace here.
We're way ahead of the game. We're going to run out of stuff to say, maybe.
Well, I think we usually get tripped up by one of them, and we'll be able to get to the end here.
Okay.
So the third item, we talked about envy and pride first, and then comes lust, which I think kind of falls similar to the envy side of it, but lust basically can be described as an intense desire or craving.
I think to be honest, if I think about lust in terms of the investing world, it's less I think about the investment per se. I think it's more about coming out the other side with what you want. So if you lusting after a few million dollars to buy your dream holiday house or whatever it is.
Or big yacht
or just retire with more money. It's because of that and you want it now. You don't want to wait because your next door neighbor or someone else has got one, right? Mm-hmm. That lust will force you into it. Incredibly high risk speculative style investment just because you want that return so badly, you're lusting after it so badly that you end up skewing your portfolio towards speculative investments that ultimately can just blow you up. And then of course now you're really crying in your soup because now you've got nothing. Whereas before you were moderately okay, now you're destitute.
Right.
And lust got you there. And the reason it's sort of almost very closely tied to greed, I think, in some regard, but it's less about greed. This one, it's the lust side of things. It's not being greedy. It's just you just can't help yourself. And people, I've seen people do this. I've seen them. I have to have it. I mean, I've seen people like with housing. I've got to have a bigger house. I've got to have a bigger yard. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And a lot of times, it's like, well, why exactly do you have to? You don't have to. You know, now if you can afford it and it's something that you've just wanted all your life and you've got the financial ability, then go right ahead.
Sure.
But just because you get your mindset so caught up with I've got to, people just can't seem to switch it off and they just can't seem to say, let's just sit down rationally and understand that I've got a decent place to live. I've got a roof over my head. I don't have to lust after this and undermine everything else I've done.
And that's where I was kind of tying it to the envy.
Yeah.
Is
right.
Someone you know just bought a bigger house. You don't know their financial situation. Maybe you know them really well and you know things are going well for them. You don't know their situation. Maybe they inherited $10 million. Maybe they got a big promotion at work that pays more than you would ever imagine they could possibly make. And so that creates that lust. You're lusting after what they have because you have to keep up with them.
I've got a classic example of that. I've got a friend who's desperate to buy a house, and they found one, and then it fell out of escrow, and then they tried another one, and that didn't work. But the driving force behind it all is a friend of his that's living in a $3 million place around the corner. But the friend's wife's dad bought the house for them. So they didn't buy the house.
Right.
So why are you worried about that? Why are you lusting off? Oh, well, we're only renting and they look where they live and it's got nothing to do with it. So who cares? Right. You know?
Correct.
Are they now not your friends because you're renting and they've got a house that they didn't even pay for? I mean, how? If that's the case, then don't worry about that. Don't be friends with them because they're so plastic that it's not worth it.
Sure.
I'll get off my soapbox now and go to number four.
Don't be moving too fast here. You are going to run us out.
Oh, no, don't you worry. There's greed to catch all of greed. Don't worry. I can roll. There's like seven shows worth of time in that one.
Well, the next one down this list is wrath.
Anger.
And we are discussing the seven deadly sins
of investing. Wrath is a great one.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. Okay, so you imagine this. You've got an investment, and you've done it, I know, and I've done it more times than I care to mention, and it's not working out too well. Okay, so you decide, okay, I'll show you, and you buy some more, right? So now, and then it goes down more. So now you're really starting to get a bit annoyed, right? So you get some more, and then you're getting more annoyed because it goes down further. So eventually you're getting a little bit up, but finally the pain's just too great, right? So you liquidate the investment.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
You rip the Band-Aid off. It's like, okay, that's it. And the very next thing that happens is it shoots straight back up past where you were bought. And you want to talk about being mad. Now you're incensed.
Right.
And so what you then do is you pile back in. I'll make it all back. And the very next thing, the thing turns around
and goes dumping
straight back down. And now you're even more annoyed. That's the great example of wrath,
right,
just getting in the way of a rational investment decision,
getting even. And the worst part about that scenario you just described is it impacts your next decision.
Agreed.
In something totally unrelated. I have had that happen. Again, personally, I mean, we're all human.
Right.
And granted, this was play money.
Right.
Just knowing, understanding that this was gambling money. I bought a low price stock with the intention I was just going to hold on to it for a long time and just see what would happen. And from the moment I bought it, it inched up to where the money had basically doubled. And again, it wasn't a huge amount of money. It might have been $1,000. And I looked at it and said, wow, I should just sell this. 100% return. It's going to be hard to beat. I was like, well, no, I bought it for a purpose. Let's forget about it. Stop paying attention to it. It had worked its way back down and was below where I had bought it. And then it's sitting there. Then it inched back up to where I was up a little bit. And I was watching it. And again, the thoughts came into my head, should I just sell this and forget about it? Didn't do it. And it inched back down again. It goes to where I'm negative again. And then something came up around the house where we needed $1,000. And I went back and forth and I watched it very closely every day. And it finally moved back up to where I had a tiny gain. I said, okay, that's it. I'm done. I sold it. Before the end of that same day, that same position, I would have had $2,000 or $3,000 profit. Within a week, I would have had $20,000 profit on $1,000 investment. And I was out and I will never look at that again.
And again,
that can really skew your view. Luckily, I knew this was money that was essentially gambling, that it was just, it was not part of my planning. It was just, okay, here's something kind of fun to do.
And I think that that really sums up both of our examples. And if you're gambling with your investments, then you're going to find wrath.
Yes.
If you're not gambling with your investments, you just have a solid plan and you've got it fully under control and you're doing it for a specific reason, you won't have wrath involved. It's only when you're playing money. It's like when I went to a casino once and a mate of mine was betting on 28 and the roulette wheel his whole night. And he had been back to the ATM like three times to draw more money, which is already
his 28 was
terrible. Yeah. And I had been playing blackjack or whatever, and I wandered over just to see how he was doing, and he was wiped out. And so he goes, I've been playing 28. And I threw two chips on 28, and of course it hit 28. And I tell you, I could just see the look on his face. He was so mad. And then I went to take the money off, and the roulette guy said, never take money off a winning bet on roulette. So I left it there, and it hit again.
back-to-back 28.
So I had this massive pile of cash, right? And I offered, I said, here, let me give you, how much did you bet on this 28? You can have that all back. And of course, he wouldn't take it. But that just shows you that the only time you really get emotionally involved is when it's a gamble of some form.
Sure.
So there, what's the next one?
Sloth. And this is one where I can, as a financial laziness. As a financial planner, I see this on a regular basis, and it pertains to every aspect of financial planning.
There's, and my son's homework. No, he's not bad. He does a pretty good job.
There's been numerous cases where I've seen people come in, oh, this is really important. I need to do this. They're 55, and they want to plan for retirement, and they're planning on retiring at 60.
That's
and
why
they,
we
and they haven't done any saving. And one of the worst ones is something as simple as getting an estate plan document drawn up. It sits on the corner of the desk, the whole concept, and that is planning for the unknown. You don't know when you're going to get hit by a bus. You don't know when you're going to get stricken with some bad disease. You don't know when something catastrophic is going to occur. You can address all those items in an estate planning document.
Right.
But people put it off and put it off and put it off.
I know.
And don't realize that if one of these bad events occurs, it can be extreme, not only catastrophic to you personally, but your entire family for years to come because of the potential tax consequences because you didn't properly plan.
Right.
And so it's something that you don't have time to put it off when it comes to the planning work.
No, I agree. I agree with that. I think you in this world, there's never any time for laziness. Well, I wouldn't say that. There is time for laziness in a controlled environment like vacation. But outside of that, I think you really just have to work it.
Right. Yeah, and again, that's just a simple example, but there's so many aspects of life where people tend to be a sloth towards items.
And I think you either. I mean, you can change that. You just have to get in a routine.
Right.
You know, once you're in the routine, I remember a classic what's the guy's name with the doctor show that actually, we're probably running out of time. I better not tell my example.
Yeah, long story. We'll get back to that.
I'll tell it when I get back.
Okay. Well, stick around. When we come back, I believe we're going to have Dave and RJ on with us just discussing what's going on in Ohio real estate. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
San Diego's home for intelligent, conservative talk. AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to LeadCommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
AM 1170 The Answer at AM1170TheAnswer.com.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
Now we're going to have our housing experts, our I guess it would fall into the alternative income strategy that will probably outperform and provide a much better bang for your buck than just about anything out there that we've been able to find with a good level of comfort with what you're investing in. We talk all the time about if you're getting a high rate of return, you need to be wary of that because we're in a very low interest rate environment. And
right.
A lot of risk has been added to the table to just try to find yield. This is a way, and this is why we have these guys on with us every week. We have Columbus Turnkey Houses. We have Dave and RJ with us. Dave, RJ, how are you guys today?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So have you got the barbecue fired up for 4th of July?
The barbecue is fired up, the pool is filled, and RJ's got his floaties on his arm.
his flippers and his mask and snorkel, too.
We got the koozie on the can.
Nice.
All is well here in Columbus. It's a great day, and thanks again for having us on the show, and to all the listeners, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thanks for making us part of your day. And that's what we're doing right now. We are on the road and just checking out some investment properties on things that we're considering purchasing actually for our own portfolio. And once again, to refresh your listeners' minds, that's what we do is we buy and fix up and manage investment properties here in Columbus, Ohio. And in fact, this past week, we actually sold two more investment properties to California investors. So we're super happy and we love being on the show.
Oh, that's good to hear. Just to go back to what we were talking about last week, and then also to just give our listeners an idea. In the investment world, typically what you find is you have a spread above the risk-free rate. And the further away that you go from the risk-free rate, the more risk is involved in the investment. And right now you've got a risk-free rate at essentially zero. So anything, the normal spread for stocks is about 5 to 6% over that type of spread. And that would mean that the yield or the returns on the stock exchange should be around 5 to 7%. So when you double that and you get to 12 to 14% return, typically the risk of the investment is really high. But there are anomalies out there. There are times when you find an investment that is a bit lower risk but a higher rate of return, which is what we feel about you guys. And I just wondered if you could talk to that a little bit. How do you find these properties, and how do you manage to reduce our investors or our listeners' risk against any kind of problems but still produce these types of returns?
That's an excellent question and very, very well said. And the thing is, with any type of investing, as you guys know and your listeners know, there's really never anything with zero risk. And if it is truly zero risk, then the rate of return is probably zero, right?
Right.
Or very small.
It's 2.5%.
What we do to mitigate the risk. I'm sorry?
No, just jokingly, I said it's somewhere around 2.5% based on the 10-year Treasury.
Right.
So what we're doing out here in Columbus, Ohio, is we're dealing with properties and rental properties. And there is no such thing as a rental property or an investment property with zero risk, because there's a lot of variables, as you guys know and your listeners know. What makes it a great return on investment is the sheer numbers of what your investors and your listeners can buy the properties for, and then what these properties are rented out for and what income is being produced from these properties. Now, in between, the rent being collected, there are a lot of variables. For instance, there could be maintenance issues. You can have bad tenants that move out. what we do to mitigate the risk, it really starts in the beginning. We acquire these properties through our online and offline marketing efforts. We're one of the biggest marketers for properties in Columbus, Ohio. So we get all sorts of, you know, properties that cross our plate, and we only acquire the best ones that we know we can turn around and actually, you know, sell to another investor that is going to make sense. We update all the mechanicals. It's very important as far as the plumbing, electrical, HVAC. We have every property inspected multiple times, and that gives a certain level of comfort to the investor when they're buying, when they see from multiple different sources exactly the amount of rehab that has been done to the property. That makes them, you know, mitigates the risk a little bit. And then we thoroughly screen out the tenants, and that's what I was doing today. We have systems in place where we check backgrounds on tenants, we look for criminal activity, and, you know, you can't always be right on that. Somebody can look 100%, you know, wonderful on paper as far as their background goes, but we talk to these people, we look them in the eyes, and we sign the leases with them directly, us ourselves, before we sell it to an investor. So we have a really good feel for who the tenants are, and that's pretty much what we do, and just put our best foot forward and always think about the end investor every step of the process.
Right. And I think one of the other things that you guys do differently from a lot of these other real estate fix and flippers is that you stay involved in the deals. You manage the properties for the investors, whereas a lot of these house flipping style investors, they fix it up, they do an okay job, they then put a tenant in, and then they flip it out and walk away and never to be seen again. Whereas you guys stand by the work for 5 years that you've done in terms of upgrading and renovations. And then you also manage the properties. So you're involved every step of the way and throughout the investor's time horizon of owning that property.
That's huge. And thank you for making that point, because you can go online and look for, you know, investment properties in cities outside of where you live. And that's why a lot of California investors, they love the Midwest, but they don't live here. And there's so many providers of property, investment properties out there, and that's exactly what they are. It's just a middleman. They're in it for a quick nickel. I do, you know, I'm very proud of the work that RJ and I put into this, and we are part of this every step of the way, and we do manage properties. We manage our own portfolio. This is what we do. It's our marketplace, and, you know, we're certainly in it for the long term, because I don't know if you guys knew this, Dan, Steve, 70% of our transactions of properties that we sell come from referrals. And that's how you guys heard about us as well. We were referred through mutual contacts. And, you know, that's something that we take very seriously, is our reputation and our relationships. And we are definitely in it for the long haul, no doubt about it.
Now, tell me the other thing I wanted to talk to you about today, because when I spoke to you a while ago when you guys were in town, you were mentioning that there were some other realtors or people that are doing similar business to what you're doing in Ohio that have come under the scrutiny of the, I think it's the DRE or the governing body over there for not really being terribly honest or ethical. Can you maybe explain what happened there and why it won't happen to you guys?
Well, yes. There is a lot of scrutiny in Ohio alone. It's actually, you know, one of the most strict states as far as real estate goes, from what I've heard and from other contacts I have all over the U.S. that do real estate. But that's actually a good thing in our mind. It really forces everybody to have the highest level of integrity to make sure things are getting done correctly. And what this other outfit was doing, and again, I'm not going to mention any names or talk bad, but what they were doing, maybe they didn't know what they were doing was wrong, but they were not using licensed individuals to manage the properties for the end investor after the investor purchased these properties. So it was basically, I don't know who it was. It could have been Joe Blow out there, just some person that they had were working with was managing these properties, and that's a huge no-no. There's a, you know, RJ and I, we've been managing our own properties since 2012, and we're really, you know, all the paperwork involved and the, you know, I'm licensed as a real estate agent here in Ohio. And there's just a lot of things that need to get done in the eyes of the law. And, you know, we take every single step and we take that very seriously because, you know, like I said, long term is everything. And you just got to make sure you're doing things the right way.
No, agreed. And that's why we have you on the show. So I really appreciate those answers. I think that'll set a lot of people's minds at rest, particularly when they're investing across the country and that's sight unseen to a large degree. But one thing, I know you guys do post pictures on your website. And so next week, I'm going to be looking for one of RJ with his floaties on and the sunscreen on his nose.
You'll see me on there on the website as your point of contact for any of the properties. I may not have any floaties though. Sorry.
Maybe you could tweet those out or Instagram.
That's
or one
right,
of those.
Exactly right. I think that would be a hot seller next to the kiddie pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, we really appreciate you guys calling in, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. And certainly it's encouraging that a lot of our listeners are giving you guys a call and taking this opportunity seriously. So thanks, and let us know before you go how people can get hold of you.
Yeah, you can get a hold of us through our website. It's www.columbusturnkeyhouses.com. And on that website, you'll have access to our direct line, which is 614-285-3600. We look forward to speaking with you.
Great. And there's pictures and everything of the properties out there and prices and all of that, right?
Correct. Yeah, all the performas, all the numbers and pictures are on that website.
Okay. Excellent. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Happy 4th.
You too. Have a good 4th. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Once again, that is Dave and RJ from Columbus Turnkey Houses, and that is their website. It's www.columbusturnkeyhouses.com. Stick around. When we come back, we will continue talking about the 7 deadly sins of investing. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ AM 1170, The Answer.
San Diego's home for intelligent, conservative talk. AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to LeadCommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
AM 1170 The Answer and AM 1170 The Answer.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And once again, happy 4th of July to everyone. We hope you are enjoying your day. We're glad you're spending at least part of that with us, and we hope we're bringing some value to you. I know Steve promised fireworks, so you wouldn't even have to go outside and watch them this evening, but it's still a fun activity to go sit and watch them flying in the sky.
Yeah, I obviously wasn't born in this country, and I have to say that when I first got here and I went to my first 4th of July, I'd never seen fireworks like that before, and I don't think that there are many places in the world where you get a fireworks display like that. You know, I've never been to an Olympic Games or something like that, but opening ceremony. But outside of that, I've got to imagine that it's impressive. It really is. Great to see. I always enjoy it.
Yes.
It brings even more of the kid out of me when I go. That's just too much fun to sit there and watch. And
I think anyone, like I grew up here, obviously, and I remember going to the high school around the corner, and we would get there, and it would be 5 o'clock, so it's still daylight, and my brother and I and the neighborhood friends, we would be running all over the school where my parents would be sitting on a blanket on the lawn out there, and then we would just be laying flat on our back, and fireworks would be exploding over our heads, and it was just an amazing, fun time.
Well, just to put it in perspective, because I'm come from South Africa, so when we'd have a fireworks display there for whatever the reason might be, and I get over here, right, and I said, well, how long does this fireworks last? And they go, 20, 30 minutes. I thought they were kidding. Like, 2 minutes was the most I'd ever
just
seen
bang,
in a row, you know, because who could afford 30 minutes of fireworks? So here you go. But
the rocket's red glare, the bomb's bursting in air. There it is.
That's right. I want to just say one thing to finish up our sloth thing before we move to the next one. I do remember my example. I remember it was that show that the doctor
Huxtable, yeah. Bill Cosby.
And he said to his son, and I think this is so classic, he goes, you know, you like a plane. He goes, you take off and you burn a lot of fuel, and then so do your homework, and then you land straight away. So you burn more fuel because you constantly take off, land. He goes, if you would just take off and then just cruise along at that altitude, in other words, constantly keep doing your homework on a regular basis, it would be, you'd burn way less fuel than what you're doing, which is studying every now and again. And that's the same with this type of thing. If you just keep maintaining and you keep work in your portfolio, once you get over that initial hurdle of getting things organized, getting the plan in place, and then once you're just monitoring it.
Right. Revisit, monitor.
Yeah, it takes a lot of stress off, and it's not that burdensome.
Sure. And if you're not working with someone that is providing that level of service, we highly recommend that you talk to someone that will guarantee to meet with you on a regular basis and revisit your planning. So moving down this list.
We've got two to go.
Two to go. Uh-oh. Can we make it?
I think we might.
I think we can. Gluttony.
Yes.
So kind of the example here, kind of like eating in an entire cake or a box of cookies or a box of donuts or something like that, just because they taste so darn good. But once you're done and the euphoria of eating this wonderful
like
tasting
fish and chips, that always sounds good until after you've eaten all that fried fish and fried chips.
Then you just sit there and it's just,
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
But I think in terms of an investment side of things, gluttony can often mean that you just load up on too much of one side of a portfolio. It's working, it's working, it's working. Let's buy more, let's buy more, let's buy more. Why do anything else? And then that side of the market collapses and you're left with nothing.
I know a lot of people, both in like Qualcomm back at the end of the 90s, that were just loading up. Every time it would dip a little bit, they'd buy more. It would dip a little more, they'd buy more. It was just an opportunity, and pretty quick it dipped. They bought more. It dipped more, they bought more. Next thing you knew, it was sliding like an avalanche.
Yeah.
And that worked to their disadvantage. Same thing, like right now, I think we're in a situation where a stock like Apple is poised for a similar situation where even great companies that are making boatloads of money come across a period of hard times, and they will slide significantly. So if you're continuing to buy into a single position, it can backfire. And And that, again, goes back to what we just discussed, the importance of planning and revisiting what is the strategy, why are we implementing this strategy. Let's stick to the strategy. Let's not just let something skew our view and make an irrational decision, because that's when you get yourself into trouble, is when you're allowing emotion and...
Well, you need some form of diversification. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not a major proponent of diversification. I think that it if you diversify correctly, that's good. But what a lot of people do is they don't understand the meaning of diversification properly, and they end up just throwing stuff into a pot that they think is diversified, when in actual fact it's just the same pot.
Well, here's a great summary of diversification. It's diversification isn't simply a matter of investing evenly across all asset types.
Right.
It's about selecting a position that best matches the risk you are willing to take for the return you would ideally like to receive.
Right.
I think that is a great summary of what diversification should mean, especially pertaining to investing.
Right.
So here we go.
We've only got, 2 minutes to handle the whole
minutes.
Of greed.
Can you get through greed?
Can't do it.
The excessive desire to acquire or possess more than what one needs.
Well, to be honest, who isn't greedy? And I have to say one thing about greed is a little bit of greed isn't such a bad thing.
Correct.
I think that a little bit of greed, and when I'm saying greed, I'm really meaning... just pushing yourself a little bit past the envelope. You're not necessarily being greedy, but it's like, I need this amount, but I'm going to push myself to get a little bit more because that'll be a better safety net for me later.
It's like a good competitive spirit.
Correct.
That if you don't have a competitive spirit, then you're really not going to care if you're in a race or competing or doing anything. You're not going to care, and then I think sloth starts to creep in.
Right.
So
that's why I think there's a very fine line between greed and sloth.
Right.
And if you can find that line, I think you're good to go.
Right.
But I think that if you err on one side or the other, then there's an issue. And certainly greed, full out greed is just, I mean, that is just, that'll undermine you so fast.
Well, in this can kind of go back to the examples we talked about, different stocks and buying them, like the gambling example I gave, where greed can really have an impact on your portfolio, is you buy things with a specific purpose. You get the return you want, you sell out of that position, if that's your strategy, and you repeatedly do this. So if you're being successful, it's working really well, and you're slowly padding your pocketbooks. But the case that happens is, you sell out, you keep watching that same stock, and it keeps going up. So you ignore that the first time. Then it happens a second time.
Right.
You get your gain that you're anticipating. You sell out, you put that money in your pocket, it keeps going up. On about the third time you're looking, it gets to where you want it. And instead of selling, you say, this one's going to keep going up too.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, it drops so quickly, not only did you lose what you invested, but you lost all the money from the previous two investments as well. And that's when you're getting greedy and saying, oh, instead of this, I can have more.
Right.
And it really negatively impacts you.
Well, the old adage from the stock exchange is the bulls make money and the bears make money, but the pigs get slaughtered.
Yes.
And so that, to me, sums up greed completely. You've just got to maintain your strategy. Sometimes you might get lucky, but we've explained a number of situations where you're getting lucky and how to deal with that situation, like trail it with a stop or sell, buy puts on the thing or lock in your gains. Sure, let it run. Let be a bit greedy. Let it go. I mean, don't stop it.
But
then
utilize
cover yourself
the tools
so that you're going
to
get stopped out if it turns around and comes back down. I mean, so that's why I'm saying there's a part of greed that works. Once you go to greedy, no.
Right. Once you add the Y, then it becomes...
A little bit of greed is okay. Too much is not good. It's like when I was playing a lot of golf, my golf coach would say, if something's working, more is better, right? And it was always no.
No.
Exactly.
And that's a great summary.
Yes.
Well, hopefully we provided some fireworks here today for you, give you some food for thought again for how to properly allocate yourself, how to just address the situations that involve financial planning and investing. We appreciate that you're here listening to us. Thank you very much. If you would like to ask us a question or get more information, you can reach either of us directly online, steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. Happy 4th of July, everyone. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer.